This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute.
Hey, boo! It's me, Roz. You guys, this episode today. Oh, it's a good one. There are so many stories, so I'm going to spare you of another one at the beginning of this show because we got a lot to get into. I am joined today by Chris Colfer, who you may know he played Kurt on Glee, which he won a Golden Globe for. I mean, hello, People's Choice Awards. Time Magazine rated him one of the 100 most influential people of the year. He's also a New York Times best-selling author, and it turns out ghosts and aliens are obsessed with him as well. I got so lucky with Chris having just a plethora of stories. And this gives you Hollywood. We get aliens. We get a story from the set of Glee where there was a ghost. I mean, also, I know I've gotten a lot of new listeners. So, hi, welcome to the spooky, kooky world of Ghosted by Roz Dresfeles. I'm your host, Roz Dresfeles. I use she, her, or they, them pronouns. And, you know, come on in. It's nice and cozy. It's like a slumber party over here. And, you know, subscribe to the show. Go back. I've got episodes for over 2 years that are posted here. And I guarantee that you'd probably recognize at least one person as you scroll through the feed. And you might be like, oh, I've heard of that person. I want to hear what their thoughts are or their stories and experiences are with the unknown and the other side. I got it for you. I got you covered. Also, go listen to some of these episodes with people maybe you never have heard of. You might fall in love with someone new. And as always, I have a Patreon, patreon.com/RozDresfeles. This time, I do that little thing where I list off a bunch of unexplained phenomenas, and it's a short little clip where I talk to Chris about his thoughts on haunted dolls, demons, Bigfoot, Mothman, and we talk a little bit about a spooky place from his hometown. Also, I have a video up this week of me talking about haunted eBay dolls and my thoughts on their profiles and their presentations. All right, let's just get into it. I'm so excited. Here's my conversation with Chris Colfer. On with the show. Oh my God, you guys, I'm joined by Chris Colfer. Hello, how are you?
Hi, Roz. I am so excited to be here.
Well, I'm so excited for a variety of reasons, but especially because I now know that you love the paranormal. So this is going to be just perfect.
So we don't know each other that well, although I'm a huge, huge fan of yours. But when you asked me to do this, did you know that this is my favorite thing to talk about in the entire world?
What the hell?
Oh, yeah.
How did I not know this? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's backtrack. So you were recently at Golden Girls Live, which I was making a couple of little cameo appearances in.
You were fantastic in it, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And then I was like, I'm just going to ask, why not? Because I'm constantly going up to people and being like, do you believe in good? It's like such a weird thing because sometimes people are like, no, what? Huh? Like, it's just so weird. You just never know. But at this point, I'm like, I'm just going to try. Who knows? And sometimes you get lucky. And I guess that's what happened this time.
I thought for sure maybe Drew Droege told you that I love talking about ghosts, because he and I have talked about ghosts for hours
really?
Before. So, yeah. So I, yeah. And actually, my favorite question to ask at parties when I meet new people is, have you ever seen a ghost?
Stop it. Okay.
I think it's quite an icebreaker.
Well, if you want to do any field reporting for the show, I'm always looking for people with ghost stories.
Live from the Soho House.
Yes. Well, it's funny you said that because we do so many shows together in that basement theater. And I actually do this podcast live in that basement theater. And many people, Drew included, have had paranormal experiences down there.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I have spent... probably a collective years of my life down there, and I have not had any paranormal experiences, to be honest, but a lot of people that I trust that I don't think are making it up have said that basement is haunted. I talk about it constantly, so maybe one day I'll get so lucky. But yeah, you were in a haunted place when you saw me last.
I feel like every theater in the world is haunted.
Right?
You know, I there's just something about maybe the exchange of energy between a performer and an audience, but I think there's something paranormal in every theater.
I mean, if it's doing it right, you know.
Right.
That's how it should be. Mm-hmm. But you never know. Well, I mean, should we just like get into it? Should we talk about ghosts? I want to hear your experiences. Now, we don't just talk about ghosts. So if you've had any kind of, you know, paranormal experience of any sort, let me know. Mm-hmm. But basically, I guess my first question is, what are your beliefs of this stuff?
You know, I think I go back and forth, honestly, between I either 100% fully believe in paranormal beings and entities and whatnot, and then some days I am the exact opposite, where I think, no, there is nothing. but it's funny, when I sat down to make a list of all, you know, my ghosty experiences for your show.
My God, you did homework and everything.
I did homework. I'm a goody two shoes.
Dream guest.
I realize I think I'm just in denial about like being haunted. I've been in many haunted houses, but I think I am also just haunted myself.
Some people are, you know. I have this belief that for someone like myself, because I had paranormal experiences as a young child, and I kind of developed an understanding that that's a thing that happens, and I think that sometimes ghosts are like, ooh, that person over there would get me if I, you know? So it's like we go to haunted places constantly, but you might not ever know, because the ghosts are like, I don't feel comfortable around that person or whatever. You know, it's sort of like, I don't know, if I'm like at some place I don't know anyone, and then I see someone with like purple hair and tattoos or something, I might be like, oh, that person might get me a little bit more than like other people. I don't know. It's sort of that thing.
I'm sure ghosts have preferences just like all of us.
Yeah, definitely. But so what was the first experience that you've had?
Okay, so I'm so glad I wrote these in chronological order. I literally have a list here. So I think the very first experience that I had was when I was very young. I want to say I was about 4. I remember I was playing in my mom's closet, which, you know, insert your own pun. I remember seeing the doorknob on my mom's closet slowly start to turn. And I thought my mom had just gotten home from work. And so I decided that I was going to scare her. So I remember as I watched the doorknob slowly turn, I grabbed it and then opened the door and went boo, and then I froze because there was nothing behind the door.
Wait a minute. So you thought that you were going to be the ghost, you were going to be the spooky, and yeah, the spooky
and the
was like
was
think
me.
Again.
Yeah, and it's so funny. Like as a kid, I just kind of shrugged it off because I didn't really think anything of it. It wasn't until like years later that I was thinking about that, because there's such a distinct memory in my head. I can see it so vividly now, even as I'm talking to you about it, that I realized later on that I was like, oh, there was something weird about that. That shouldn't have happened. Like that should not have turned, that doorknob should not have turned by itself.
Yeah. Now was this a house that was, you know, had haunted activity?
I don't think so. Cause I don't remember anything else like that happening in that house. It was the first house that, my family lived in when I was growing up. And it was a fairly new development. So, I mean, unless it was just like, you know, Indian, graveyard beneath us or, you know, something like that. That was the only experience I ever had in that house.
You know, the thing that I've learned from this podcast, I bring it up a lot because it scares me, it keeps me up at night, is that I have learned that, and of course all this stuff is theory or whatever, it's all just stuff that we learn from hearing people's stories, but it seems that sometimes ghosts don't have to be present because they died at a location or there's some kind of history there. Like sometimes ghosts can just find you.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
they could just show up one day, and it could just be a one-off, you know, it could just be a one time. Let me turn the doorknob. Okay. And I'm out of here. Like,
yeah. Testing the waters.
You never know.
Yeah. And maybe that ghost just didn't get the reaction out of me that they wanted. So they moved on.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like, I don't know, Monsters, Inc. or something. And it's like they got to kind of learn how to be a ghost. And so they start off, you know, at a house, and they'll be like, okay, here's the first assignment is to turn a doorknob. All right, I did that. Now it's time to move to the next house. Yes.
Yeah.
You never know.
So, yeah, it's so much fun to speculate.
Oh, God, I know.
And I understand why some people just don't, you know, they don't want to even humor the idea of supernatural stuff. But for me, it's like, it's just something I choose to believe in because it's just so damn fun to talk about and to wonder. And honestly, I hope we never have a definitive answer in our lifetime because that would kind of ruin the fun and the mystery of it for me.
Oh, exactly. That's like with all this UFO stuff that's been coming out where...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of good that can happen with that. But at the same time, I'm like, the mystery. Like, the mystery is what we love. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be like, oh, it's just like, you know, we got helicopters, UFOs, airplanes. Like, I want it to be like what is that thing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's way more fun to almost project your own beliefs on it than you know, to have a definitive answer.
Yeah. So yeah. So what else has happened to you?
Oh, my gosh, so many things.
Okay, okay.
How much time do you have?
I got as much time as you are willing to give.
Oh, great. Okay, so the next ghost experience, because I've got some extraterrestrial and psychic experiences, too.
Oh,
I'm more than happy to share.
How did
you.
I get so lucky? Okay.
Like I said, like I wasn't very familiar with your podcast when you asked me to do this, and then I've been listening to it all week, and it's one of my new favorite ones, and I can't believe I hadn't heard of it before. So
thank you.
It's an honor to be here. So my next experience, it was in the first house that I lived in Los Angeles. And I bought the house very cheap, which should have been the first red flag. And it was foreclosed. It had been on the market for months and months and months. And this was really like right when I was on the TV show Glee, and it had just kind of taken off pretty epically. And I just really needed a house. Like I really needed to get out of my apartment building because, you know, people would follow me back to my apartment. And
oh my God, the fandom.
Yeah, the fandom was rabid.
I remember.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we were kind of like we were like the musical theater Beatles there for a while.
Yes.
I'm very glad things have calmed down since. I'm very very glad that other teenage shows have taken the torch from us. So I found this house, and it was, you know, it was, it was, it wasn't like my dream house or anything, but it was just like, it was something I could afford, and it was in a safe place, and I felt like I could be safe there. And so I bought it, and strange things started happening like within like the first like month of me being fully moved in.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
So as somebody that you had said you like to ask people if they have ghost stories and that sort of thing, at this point in your life, does that part of you go into as you're about to move into a place? Because for me, at this point, since I talk about ghosts so much, I won't move into a place without being like, is this place haunted? Has there been any death or anything like that? But did you ask, or were you curious about that kind of a thing?
No, because I really wasn't into all of this stuff then at the time.
Okay.
So it really was after I had a few unexplainable experiences that I started really getting into it and really, really enjoying, the speculation of what had happened or if I was just crazy. This house really was very much kind of confirmed for me that you know there was more to life than just life.
Ooh, okay, give it to me.
So I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would just see things at the foot of my bed. One night I woke up and I saw a man in a janitor's uniform just standing at the foot of my bed, just staring at me. Of course I sat straight up in my bed and just stared at him for, I it felt like an hour, but it's probably just a couple minutes. And then eventually it, whatever it was, faded away.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. When you see this janitor, was he see-through? Did he look like a human?
He looked just like a human. Because at first I thought it was an intruder. That's like, you know, I thought I was being robbed or something at first.
Yeah.
You do one of those like as you sit up in bed, and then like it slowly, whatever it was, slowly just disappeared. And that's when I knew, oh, that wasn't. That was not a person. That was something else.
Oh my God.
And then of course for days after I kept thinking like, okay, I just, you know, sleep paralysis, you know, what hallucination, you know, that had just been a figment of my imagination.
Those moments when you wake up and you see this living human in your mind just standing there, I mean, did you ask it a question or what do you do? I mean, that is such a scary thing because, yeah, again, especially with you having so many fans that were going crazy at the time, mm-hmm. like it very much could have been somebody sneaking into your house.
It could have been a parent asking me for an autograph for their daughter.
Oh my God.
You don't know. You never know. And at the time, at the time it was really scary because, my character was one of the very first, gay teenagers on, network television.
Yeah.
And I was getting so many death threats and, people were threatening to hurt me and to kill me and left and right. You know, I had all of these. Like these religious fanatics, I had pastors like calling me the devil in their sermons. I thought someone's come to kill me. You know, that was my first reaction. And so I was terrified and I froze and I, didn't say anything cause I was petrified and I was living alone at the time, which didn't make matters, you know, which didn't help matters.
I'm sorry, ghosts scare me, but that all of that is scarier.
It's I think so too because I agree.
Yeah.
Again, I'm glad it's all calmed down. Thank goodness. It was a scary time. So it's such a weird. It's kind of weird to think that this started happening during that time. But also because I was so stressed out all the time, I convinced myself it was just I made it up in my mind. Like I thought, oh, well, I'm under a lot of stress right now because of, you know, stuff and maybe I'm hallucinating. So,
well, and a lot of people believe that otherworldly forces, are attracted to that, or maybe your walls down, you know, when you're stressed and you're thinking about other things. And sometimes it allows for that communication to happen.
Yeah, or maybe they just really liked my my cover of I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, I'm
sorry,
dog.
My dog is barking.
Oh, God, don't tell me it's barking and there's nothing there.
No, it's probably a gardener or something.
Okay.
Although I should have gone with that. That would have been really creepy for you for the show. So, yeah, so then I kind of just sort of, you know, stomached it and didn't think much about it. I just convinced myself I was just seeing things. And then a few weeks later, I woke up again and I saw a little boy. He was wearing a white shirt and had blonde hair, and he was hiding behind the curtains of my bedroom, just peeking out and just looking at me.
Wait, in the middle of the night?
This one was probably like around dawn, I would say. I sat up and gasped very, very loudly, and then I remember my abrupt movement scared him, and then he disappeared.
Now, can you, I know that when you're in these moments, you don't always like take in every single little detail or whatever because you're in shock and stuff, but can you describe what it was like when these figures disappeared? I mean, was it just like you blinked and they're gone, or did they dissolve, or
I do remember a slight, what do you call it, transparency first, but they disappeared pretty quickly. But I do remember a slight, like, could see through them for a few seconds before they were gone. Like it was a quick fade. Which, by the way, I have to disclose, I totally, like, whatever this is, this could be sleep paralysis. I could be crazy. I could have just been stressed and been hallucinating. But regardless, it was very real to me. And again, like I said, it's just so much fun to talk about. So, I mean, even if I am crazy, I mean, it's a fun crazy.
Okay. Well, first of all, you came to the right place because we believe in this stuff. So don't even worry about that. But
among friends.
Yes. But I mean, with sleep paralysis, like you wouldn't be able to sit up.
That's true, and I have had bad sleep paralysis where I am paralyzed and can't move, and that is very scary. But yeah, these experiences, I had full motion, it wasn't just like I woke up and it was gone. It was like I had a minute or, you know, a good 30 seconds with seeing this in front of me.
And both of these figures, did they both appear to be like the same? Like living human beings, they were
at first. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's funny. The first one, the janitor was just didn't have any kind of reaction to me waking up. He was very still and just was just kind of looming over me, staring at me. And then the little boy, which was the second one I experienced, that he was there, he like very much reacted to my reaction, which I thought was interesting.
So this is how long you've been living in the home?
This was like, I want to say like the second month.
Okay.
Yeah,
and at this point, are you afraid to go to bed, or are you?
At this point, I am in deep denial. Because
wow.
it was like the world is scary outside my house.
Yeah.
The world is scary inside my house.
Oh, I'm
just gonna pretend everything is okay.
Did you share this with anybody at the time?
Oh, of course. I told anyone who would listen. My mom would come and visit me, occasionally. And my mom is very, very much like does not believe in this kind of stuff. The first time she stayed at my house, I met her downstairs for breakfast, and she goes, "This house is haunted."
Why'd she say that?
Why do you say that? And she said that she was hearing footsteps in the hallway all night long. I at the time, like I said, I was in denial, and I was like, "Well, you know, Brian, my cat, is very heavy, so maybe you just, you know, you heard, you know, him stomping around." And she's like, "No, Christopher, I heard human footsteps all night long, going up and down the stairs, and this house is haunted. You need to move." And again, just, you know, denial, stomach it. So anyway, the house, like the longer that I lived there, it just seemed like there was just this bad energy in the air. And it, the way that it was built was kind of unsettling too, because it was multi-leveled. It was like a big house. It was kind of like a townhouse, but like it sat like kind of over a cliff, in the hills. The basement was very creepy because the basement was only like partially finished, where like half of it was concrete and the other half was just dirt, like plain dirt, basically what I'm saying is bodies could have been buried there.
Oh, of course.
I wouldn't have known. So anyway, it just got to a point, and I remember I went to a psychic and the psychic told me, yeah, that you need to get out of that house. And I was like, I agree. So I only lived there. I lived there for, I think, less than a year. And then I moved to another house. But then about 3 or 4 months after I moved from that house, I saw my old neighbor at the grocery store. His name was Ben. And I remember Ben telling me, you know, who I'd become friends with over the time that I was living there. He stopped me at the grocery store and he said, I would never have told you this while you were living there, but your house used to be a huge like drug house. Like it was like people would come, like we would see like Bentleys and cars like parked outside for days and days on end. We would see people go in and then we would never see them come out.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, well now you tell me.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have told me this before I bought the house, but so that kind of confirmed to me that there was something off there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Not only are you a dream guest with so many other things, as you've mentioned, you've done your homework and you've listened to the show, but you've got stories with endings.
Yeah, with confirmation too, right?
Oh my God, a nice little button on the end. Okay, so then you move into the next place. At this point, do you now say, hey, is this house haunted?
At this point, anytime I enter any building, I ask if it's haunted at this point. And I did. And I remember the realtor said, in my next house, the realtor said, no deaths, just a divorce. And I was like, okay, I can handle a divorce. I can handle that.
So what experiences have you had since then?
So yeah, that was kind of like, I'm kind of the gateway, I think, that experience into kind of, I think after that, I was just much more observant and I was much more sensitive to stuff. Another good story I can tell you was we were shooting Glee at the Pasadena Red Cross. And the Pasadena Red Cross is a beautiful building. It is an old mansion that was converted, that was donated to the Red Cross and converted into like a Red Cross like headquarters for the city of Pasadena. When I was shooting Glee, we used to shoot all, if anyone watched the show, we used to shoot the Dalton Academy was what we used the Pasadena Red Cross to shoot. I remember I was outside looking outside the entrance. We were shooting a scene and waiting for the director to call action. And in the scene, I was just supposed to walk in through the front door. And I'm on my mark, just, you know, waiting for the director to call action. And I got this feeling that I was being watched. And which was kind of strange because not only is there, you know, a million crew members behind me and around me, there was also a you know, there was also like a huge group of paparazzi at the gates of the property snapping pictures. So it's just, it was really strange that I got the feeling that I was being watched then, you know,
yeah,
because I was clearly being watched for the whole day. But then I got suddenly the eerie feeling that I was being watched. And I look up and I see an older woman in the window of the house. And I remember seeing her gave me chills. And I remember actually there is a paparazzi photo of me the minute that I looked up and saw her, which I think is kind of interesting. And if anyone finds it, you'll know it's the photo I'm talking about because I look very scared and I'm staring up. Anyway, so I don't know. There was just something strange about her, and she didn't look like she was part of our crew.
Yeah. What was she wearing? So,
white. That's all I could see.
Ghosts love that.
They love white, right? Just an older lady. Because it was daytime, it was like the window like was really reflective. So I couldn't see her very well, but I definitely saw her. And it was weird. It was like one of those things, like when you see something, you also feel it at the same time. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It was almost like I was like feeling her as much as I was seeing her. Anyway, we shoot the scene, blah, blah, blah. And I try to find that room in between setups. I try to find that room that I saw this woman in. And I'm kind of exploring the house, and then I realize it is it was the attic. It was the attic that I saw her in. And either, you know, there's a bunch of like old antiques there. Things were covered with sheets. It was like literally like it was like it couldn't have been more textbook attic.
Yeah, totally.
And so I was thinking, and then of course because of my experiences at my old house, I thought, oh God, is it happening again? Did I just see a ghost? So I go to the location manager and I ask her, hey, can we find out if this place is haunted? And she kind of gave me like, you know, that weird look that everyone gives you when you, you know, ask a question like that. And she's like, sure, give me a few minutes.
Let me get right on that.
Yeah. And so then a few, I'd say like 20 minutes later, she comes up to me with a huge smile on her face. And she's like, you're not going to believe this. And I was like, trust me, I will. And she's like, people claim this house is very haunted. They claim they have seen a woman roaming the hall, an older woman roaming the halls. It's actually been on the show, Ghost Hunters.
Oh my God.
And I had never seen that episode. So again, that was confirmation for me that, okay, so yeah, I experienced something that other people have also experienced.
Well, first of all, for anyone that's never been to Pasadena, it is just like gigantic old houses.
Oh, yeah.
And so many of them are haunted. There's tons of haunted places in Pasadena. They just love it there.
They do. I mean, it's very nice. I can't blame them.
Yeah, it is nice. Did you guys, so you filmed a lot there. So did other people have experiences that you knew about?
I never actually asked anyone about it because this is actually when this happened. This was season 5, and I actually never went back there again. This is actually the last time that I was there. So maybe she was saying goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, you should go visit her.
I should. What a weird way to get in. Hi, I know the lady in the attic.
I know the ghost here. Well, you know, I was thinking. I did a little research of my own, and I found a clip from when you were on Jimmy Fallon, and you were telling the story about a little alien that you encountered.
Yes.
Can we hear that story?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's on my list.
Okay, perfect. Let me
see. Yeah, so I was little. I forget. I think it was like 5 or 6 or something like that, and I had terrible bronchitis. And so I was hyped up on lots of, you know, cough syrup and whatnot. And I remember, again, waking up in the middle of the night, and there was a little E.T. standing at the foot of my bed. And he was very, very cute. And I remember it was so strange because as soon as I opened my eyes and I realized what I was looking at, I was not afraid of it at all. Which is kind of funny because every time I've ever, anytime that experience has happened to me before or after, I've always been very scared. But there is something about seeing this extraterrestrial that I felt very almost comforted that he was there, or she or they, I totally, like, again, it could have been a hallucination, but kind of a very specific strange hallucination to have. And ever since then, I've been fascinated by you know, the alien theories and UFOs, and it's one of my little hobbies to research and read about.
But what was it that made you think that it was an alien as opposed to a ghost or anything else?
He had a huge head, huge eyes. he looked just like the alien emoji.
Wow.
About 3.5 feet tall.
Cute.
Like bluish grayish skin.
Oh my god.
But adorable. Absolutely adorable. And maybe he was just so cute I wasn't afraid.
And so how did that one end? Did he walk out the room or what happened?
Same as my ghost experiences later on. It faded.
Wow.
Yeah. Any skeptics listening would say, okay, clearly, if you know, you have the same thing happen to you more than once, it's probably medical. It's not supernatural. But
oh, come on. Yeah. Well,
I think it was real because it's a lot of fun to think it was real.
Yeah, of course. Well, because when I was watching the clip with Jimmy Fallon, you were saying that it was kind of telepathic communication between the two of you.
Yeah. It was kind of like I knew they were there. They weren't there to hurt me. And I knew they just were there to say basically, hey, feel better.
Have you heard about this documentary called The Phenomenon?
Yes. Is it Discovery Plus?
Yes.
Yes.
Which I'm obsessed with Discovery Plus because it has all these paranormal shows and stuff. But that one has this story that I had never heard before of these kids in Zimbabwe that were at school and they were doing recess, and all of a sudden this UFO came down, and basically what you described came out of the craft and had telepathic communication with them. And all of these children experienced it. And there was, I guess in the 90s, this was in 1994, the BBC did an interview with the children, and the kids seem very, like, very convinced. And there are a lot of them that experience this. And then in this documentary, The Phenomenon, they go back and they catch up with the kids. And it just reminded me so much of that story when I heard yours.
Oh my gosh. I gotta finish. I think I started it, but never finished it. So I definitely gotta check that out.
Yeah. It's right towards the end of it. It's so cool.
Yeah, and a very similar thing happened in it was either Australia or New Zealand. Like, I can't remember, but where these kids were playing at recess, and there was like 50 of them, you know, playing soccer or something, and a saucer flew by, and they all saw it, and to this day every single one of them still claims that they saw what they saw. And it's always great when, you know, someone else is there, so, you know, you don't feel crazy.
Right. Well, that's what's so great about the stories that you've told about your ghost stuff, is that it seems like you've gotten a little bit of validation that stuff that other people have experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. And I absolutely believe in aliens. I think aliens are kind of like the exact opposite of Santa. You know, we're like when we're, as we grow up, like we slowly start to realize Santa isn't real. But with aliens, it's like, as we grow up, we slowly start to realize, oh no, they these things are real.
Right. And I think that they they come in peace. That's my belief.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. I think they're so far advanced that they have no reason to mess with us. I mean, if anything, I think they're just checking on us, very much like we would check, you know, on rhinos in the wild.
Right. But I'm starting to think after these billionaires are going into outer space, I'm like, what if aliens are just like billionaires on their planet that are just kind of going on vacation to look at us?
Yeah. Teenagers with the keys to their parents' car.
That's what I always say. Yes. Yeah. I feel like they're just like, let's go look at these idiots on Earth that are just like, you know, fighting and killing their planet. And
would be funny, like the Roswell incident is like their like drunk driving awareness month.
Seriously. It's like, yeah, this is what happens if you don't pay attention to your craft. So what else is on that list you got over there?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I've got, all right. Well, I guess I can finish my ghost list and then literally just like you can edit this however you want, but I mean, I'll just give you everything I've got.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next one, I've had my mom passed away in 2016, and I've had some very strange experiences, me and my family and my friends are convinced it is absolutely her ghost saying hello. When my dad remarried, my dad remarried a few years after she passed, and to a wonderful, wonderful woman. I have a wonderful stepmother, but she kept finding her engagement ring in the trash can and couldn't figure out how it was getting there. Always joke that my mom wasn't really happy that my dad was remarrying. With me though, there was one time because I used to love teasing my mom because she'd get so flustered whenever I tease her. My boyfriend and I were sitting at our, dining table, actually where I'm sitting right now. We were just, you know, reminiscing about her and kind of teasing her as if she was there. I have her ashes in a shelf on a bookcase, next. This is a lot of detail. So bear with me.
Oh, please. But, we love it.
Her ashes are on a shelf on my bookcase next to a lamb that was made from a stuffed animal lamb that's made from her wedding dress.
Oh, anyway. That's cute.
Very cute, very cute. My when I was a kid, I had a lamb that was like my teddy bear. So when my mom passed away, my dad had things made for me and my sister out of her, like pillows and stuffed animals out of her wedding dress. And it's very, very pretty. Anyway, so we're sitting here and my boyfriend and I were sitting here and we were kind of razzing her a little bit, and suddenly out of nowhere, the lamb just gets knocked off the shelf. And it like there was no explanation for it whatsoever. It was a deep shelf. Like it always sits in the very, very, very back of the shelf. So even if it had fallen over, it wouldn't have fallen off the shelf. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it would have just fallen, you know, it would have, you know, been lopsided in the shelf. But this was like as if it had been kicked out of the shelf. It came flying out. Again, and that was great because I had someone here who witnessed it with me.
Yeah.
And so we were just like, okay, I guess she didn't like that joke. Another story involving my mom, and this one is great. I actually wasn't present for this one, but it's a great story. I bought a beach house in the near the Santa Barbara area a few years ago, and I used to always joke that it was my mom's house because she always ended up using it more than I did. It seemed like she was there every weekend with a new group of friends, and about a year after she died, I got a call from my neighbor up there that said, you know, your garage is malfunctioning. It just keeps opening and closing, opening and closing, opening and closing. So my assistant, Heather, went up to see what the problem was. And she tried to close it. She tried to fix it, and she couldn't. It just kept opening and closing. So she called a technician to come out and look at it. And he came out, and he looked at it and looked at it, and he could not figure out what the problem was. And he concluded that the something microscopic in the like the microchip of the the pad that where you hit the button to open and close the garage. Mm-hmm. He said that something microscopic must have broken, and the term they use for that is called ghosting, when it's something so small they can't really see it, but it's causing the machinery to malfunction.
Okay, I'll have my lawyers get in contact with them.
Ghosting. And anyway, so he explained this to my assistant Heather, and he replaced the microchip, and it started working fine. And on his way out, he said, "Oh, by the way, it was nice to meet you, Karen." To my assistant, and my mom's name was Karen.
What?
Right. And so Heather, my assistant, apparently she said she just froze and went pale, and she was like, that's not my name. And then she was like, but like, we always joke that a woman named Karen, her spirit is at this place. We joke about it all the time. And she said the guy got so freaked out, he just was like, let's not talk about this, and drove off.
Why did he think that she was Karen?
Isn't that insane?
Oh my God.
I know, that's pretty, I mean, and like I said, I wasn't there, I didn't see it, but I mean, what a story.
Whoa. That's like, okay, I had this story happen one time that I've told on the show, and I'll just tell you briefly. Like, I had this experience where I was staying at a friend's house that I kind of knew was a little bit haunted, and I had an experience in the middle of the night where like the closet door opened and whatever, and then I woke up the next day, and I had in my brain the name of what the ghost was.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My friend didn't know that she had actually just found out that that's what the ghost's name was. And she was like, how did you know that? And I'm like, I don't know. It was just in my head. That's just what I thought the ghost, I just had it in my head. I don't know.
Yeah. The story I told you, I know exactly what you mean. The story that I told you about, the Red Cross in Pasadena, for whatever reason, I knew the lady that I was looking at. I just knew her name started with a C. I don't know why. It just popped into my head. It just entered my mind. And then, I asked the location manager, what the name of the family who lived there, who donated the house to the Red Cross. And she said they were called the Craven family with a C.
Oh my God.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's strange what we pick up on.
I think that both of us are psychics. I think that we I think you and I both have, because the kind of stories that you're telling me are kinds that I've had in my life where I think ghosts like us. And I think that if we wanted to, we could actually be like real psychics. Like, I
have been told by many psychics that I'm psychic.
Every psych I've ever been to, they're like, if you wanted to, you could steal all of our business. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
One of us.
Yeah. But I don't really want to be a psychic. But
it seems like it'd take a lot of work.
Yeah, it's just too much. I don't want to know everything about everything. And
yeah,
I mean, have you had a lot of experiences with psychics?
Well, one of my best friends in the entire world is a psychic. Her name is Char. Char Margolis, she's incredible. She had her own show on WoW Plus, the Reading for Queens. Mm. And she is famously, she I don't know if you know the story about when Dean Martin's brother died in a plane crash off the coast of Hawaii, and the search and rescue searched for his body for days and days, and they were desperate, and so they called Char, and she walked into the search and rescue headquarters and pointed to a map and said, "He's here," and they found him that afternoon.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, and they're actually making a documentary about it right now. So, that'll be fun when that comes out.
Yeah. I mean, that's one psychic ability that I would love to have, to be able to like find things.
Yeah. And she, like, she's, I mean, Char, you got to have her on your show. I think you two would get along. I'll make the connection happen.
Oh, thank you.
But she also used to work for the police. And like, they used to like mic her and wire her and send her into places. And she'd pick up on things and help detectives and stuff. So she's got a lot of amazing stories.
Did it ever appeal to you to do like Tyler Henry or, you know, any of these celebrity psychic shows?
It did. When I've definitely had offers to do like him and the Long Island Medium and whatnot. And I believe in all of that so much. I wouldn't be very comfortable being that vulnerable on camera.
Right. I mean, you know, it gets heavy.
It gets really heavy. And so, I mean, like stories like this, I think I have no problem telling anyone because I think they're fun and spooky and whatnot. But, yeah, I just like, I don't know. I don't want my deceased relatives, spilling all, you know, telling all my secrets.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So had you had other extraterrestrial type experiences?
You know, I've had some crazy dreams, where I've been like aboard UFOs and whatnot. It never like anything cool, like where I'm being experimented on. It's more like, oh crap, how'd he get in here? Kind of a thing. Uh-huh. But I did see a UFO for the first time last year.
It keeps getting better.
I know. I mean, I sound like a lunatic, and that's okay.
You don't. Not here. If you were on, like, I don't know, C-SPAN right now being interviewed, yes. But here,
yeah, right.
No.
And I, for the record, if I wanted attention, there are many, many avenues I could pursue. Trust me.
Yeah, totally.
And I think I'm actually, because I have a book coming out this fall, so I think I'll have to when I promote it, I'll have to, you know, let the Tonight Show show the video or something, because I took a video of it actually.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. So what happened?
So I was leaving. I forget. Actually, it wasn't last year. I think it was, it might've been in January actually, January of this year. And I was leaving, or was I leaving? I forget where I was leaving, but anyway, I was stepping out and, I was wearing sunglasses and I look up in the sky, and had I not been wearing sunglasses, I would not have seen it because it blended into the sky pretty well. But it was just like this. It was this white, like it looked like a cylinder, very small, just hovering in the air, and it was bobbing from side to side. It wasn't moving with the wind. It was upright, and it was just chilling in the sky. I wasn't sure what it was, so I took a video of it and sent it to a lot of my friends, you know, and they all congratulated me on my first UFO sighting because they knew what a milestone it was for me.
This was here in California?
It was here in California. I was in Los Angeles, and then later that afternoon, it's funny because I think it was the American Airlines pilots in Arizona reported seeing a cylinder flying over Arizona. So I remember it was the same exact day. Luckily like our iPhones date everything.
Right.
So I was able to make that connection.
There's this other thing with UFOs that people believe, which is that there's some people that UFOs and aliens like keep up with. You know, mm-hmm. And maybe you'll have a series of those experiences.
I hope so, because God, like I said, they're my favorite thing to talk about. Like it's such a passion project. Imagining.
Well, I don't know. You experienced one at such a young age.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's not a mole on my neck. Maybe that's a tracking device.
Oh my God! You know what I was reading? Fran Drescher says that she had an experience with an alien like that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's legit or not, but I read it online, so it's probably
real. Oh my gosh. there's a great story about I think it was a party at Lucille Ball's house. Ronald Reagan came to the party, he was long before he was even, you know, thinking about politics. He was just, you know, an actor in Westerns. he came to the party kind of disheveled, and they asked him what was wrong. And he said that he had encountered extraterrestrials like on Mulholland, and one of them told him he was going to be president.
What?
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
God, I've never heard that story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you ever been to AlienCon?
No, have you?
Oh, my gosh. Treat yourself.
Where is that, in Roswell?
The one I went to, although I have been to Roswell. I went to Roswell on vacation because I'm eccentric. And I loved, I took a tour of Roswell, tours by Dennis. I highly recommend. He will give you all the information you ever want. No, I went to AlienCon. I think it was in Pasadena randomly, a few years back. And it was, oh my God, it was you know, kind of like a cheesy convention, but just the people watching is phenomenal.
Oh, of course. That's my favorite.
And like the Q&A section, at the panels are like fascinating. And, you know, people, they always use the Q&A in those scenarios to just talk about themselves. And oh my God, it was a gift.
So when it comes to UFOs and aliens, like, mm-hmm. So what do you believe? Do you believe that they live on another planet in outer space and they come here? Because sometimes I have these beliefs that what if they like live here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go back and forth. I think honestly, my theory is actually maybe they're just a very, very evolved form of us. You know, I've always, because, you know, when you look at like, you know, the evolutionary diagram of you know, you know, chimps evolving into human beings, you know, the further that our species progresses, it's like the less hairy we get, the bigger our heads become, the bigger our eyes become. You know, the more we lose digits, like, you know, fingers and tails and whatnot. And so if you put like the traditional depiction of an alien chart, yeah, yeah. It you could see actually how we could actually evolve into that.
Yeah, because there is always kind of that feeling of like they're at the zoo or something,
right?
When they're looking at us. And it's like, yeah, what if they are more evolved versions of us? Do you want to hear some ghost voices?
Yes.
Okay. It's time for
EVPs
or EV please. So, you know how this works. I go to YouTube and I look up EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon, a.k.a. People on the internet that believe they have captured ghosts speaking. And I'll give you some options. First, let me know what you hear, and we'll try to figure out what these ghost hunters believe their ghost is saying. So this first one comes from it's called American Paranormal Research Association. This sounds very Ooh. Official.
Yeah.
On YouTube. And this is at Murphy's Historic Hotel, which is in Murphy's, California. And let's see if you can hear anything. Now, always, I give the benefit of the doubt, especially because we're doing this over Zoom. It might be hard to hear, but we'll try. All right, here we go.
Oh my God, it happened so fast. We play it again?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God, I have no, it kind of sounds like almost like a Cash Me Outside.
Cash Me Outside, how about that? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it sounds like kind of a higher pitched voice from a distance. Saying like kind of a sentence. I'll play it again.
It's almost like you know that song, booty 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 rocking everywhere. That's it's almost like they say the first lyrics and they give up.
I think it sounds like that Madonna song, "What Are You Looking At?" Vogue.
Oh yeah.
That's what I hear. Wait, let me play it again. What are you looking at?
I agree with you. I think that's the closest, yes.
Well, I have some other options. So it's one of these. Is it A, water my freaking plants? Maybe they're going out of town and they want you to water the plants. I don't know. Is it
they could ask nicely.
Yeah, right. At least that was more of a demand. Okay, how about B? What do you think you're doing? Is it C? I wonder about you. Or D? What if I got highlights? Maybe they're thinking about, you know, switching it up.
What was option B?
What do you think you're doing?
I would say that.
Okay, let me play it again. Yeah, that's what they think it says. And I actually kind of hear it.
Yeah, I definitely hear that.
What do you think you're doing? Okay, here's one more. And this one is from Oklahoma Ghost Chasers. And I couldn't figure out what the location was. So it's someplace with a ghost. And here's a ghost speaking. What is it saying? Okay, this one's more of a whisper with a lot of background noise. But it's a whispery kind of a ghost. I'll play it again. Do you hear anything?
One more time.
Okay.
I can't make out anything. Like if anything, it kind of seems like a it kind of sounds like, who you gonna try?
Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. It's here one more time.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I feel like it sounds like Terminator. Okay, let me give you some options. Is it A, turtle head? B, you better back up. C, turn that off. Or D, my attorney just called.
Well, I respect D the most.
let me play it again.
I have no idea.
It says turn that off.
Turn that off. Okay.
Okay, now that we know that, let's hear it again.
Yeah, okay, I can hear that now.
Turn that off. Yeah, I can hear it. Well, I think that's about it. I think we got a full episode of amazing stories here. I am so grateful that you did this.
I didn't shut up. Thank you so much for giving me a safe place.
Oh my God, it's perfect. And so what's going on with you? You got another book coming out. I mean, this is number what now? You've written so many.
Yeah, this is number 18 for me.
Congratulations. You are my niece Ella's favorite author. So shout out to Ella.
Hi, Ella. Thank you so much. Another book coming. I just had a graphic novel come out last month called Goldilocks Wanted Dead or Alive. And my new book, A Tale of Sorcery, is the third book in my A Tale of Magic series. So that'll be hitting shelves in September.
Thank you so much to Chris Colfer. How did I get so lucky? And if you want to hear just a little bit more where I talk to Chris about haunted dolls, Bigfoots, demons, you know, that kind of otherworldly other stuff and cryptid creatures and that sort of a thing, I have a little clip on my Patreon, patreon.com/RossDressVelez. You can also watch a video of me talking about haunted eBay dolls. Hey, are you subscribed to the show? Please subscribe, rate the show 5 stars. And if you have a ghost story, you could leave it in a 5-star review, or you could just write something nice, or you could send me a ghost story to ghostedbyroz@gmail.com with the subject line listener episode, and maybe I could have you on an upcoming listener episode. I also have a Facebook group called Ghosted by Roz Drez Velez. And hey, spooky season is getting real, real close. So help me spread the word about this fun show we do over here. I am on Instagram at Roz Hernandez, Cameo Roz Drez Velez. I love you all, both living and dead.
But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye.
Starburns Avenue, a podcast network.